Good morning. Welcome to University United Methodist Church, and Steve Bacon, a member of Welcome You, in this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Interestingly enough, we had a worship meeting the other evening, and one of the things I said, you know, make sure that you introduce not only your name, but who you are. So for those of you who don't know, I help out here at church with a Sunday school. During the week, I'm actually also a teacher. I teach fifth grade at a middle school in North Syracuse. So now you know. If you are new to us and want to find more about who we are and what we do have this red-pink visitor's pack. It kind of looks like this. It's available in the back part of the sanctuary and certainly off to our right side. If you have any problems finding it, certainly catch me or somebody else. I'd be happy to point that to you. It's chock full of a whole bunch of information of who we are, what we do, the activities that happen certainly during the week, and ways that you can participate in the life of the church. Also, in your bulletin today is a... They always do these colors on me. I guess this is green, lime green. A lime green color that serves two purposes for us. The top portion of it is our prayer request time. We're a community of faith, and we like to share those joys and concerns that we have. So you can fill the top portion out. Later on the service, ushers come around, they'll collect this from you, and we'll share that during our prayer time. The middle portion of it lets us know that you're here. It's important because we want to help you stay connected with the church. So if you could fill that out, that goes in the offering plate during the time of offering. And the bottom part is just a change and any contact information you might have. Just go ahead and note that on the bottom. We do have, for your comfort, rocking chairs in the back. If you have young ones that you need to soothe, we certainly have restrooms that are out either side of the doors or also the back part of the church down either of those stairwells. After the service, in our gathering room, please get together. And is the gathering room or is it going to be in the narthex? I see tables there. It is in the gathering room. Thank you. In the gathering room, we will have time to get together to certainly catch up on our fellowship of that. In your bulletin, a couple more things. Many, many exciting events that are happening, certainly in the life of our church. Two things I just want to highlight to you in addition to those that are in there. Thanksgiving is coming up, and we have a tradition of putting together Thanksgiving bags for families. That's what this slip is for. If you're interested in participating in that wonderful, wonderful ministry, go ahead and take this, find more information, and certainly participate in that. And then 2 weeks from now is All Saints Sunday, and it's a time for us to recognize and remember those who've passed on during the year of 2016. So if you know somebody, either a family member, a friend, an acquaintance that you want to recognize and remember during that time, you can fill out this form. Also put that in the offering plate or drop it off at the office, and we'll include that 2 weeks from now when we do our Remembering Saints Day. So whatever brings you here today, be it custom, crisis, or curiosity, please let you know that you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. And with that, I'd like to introduce Beth Drew.
Is that on? Yep, it is. My name's Beth Drew, and I am kind of standing in this morning for our minister, Reverend Alicia Wood. Alicia is away for a couple of days of well-deserved rest, and I am delighted to have you here and with us and that we can be together. I have been a member of this church for a long time, and it is a joy to be standing here this morning. I have the job that Alicia often does at the beginning of our service, which is to just name where we are, so that if you have come in the doors this morning, you can have a sense of who we are and what we are and where we're going. And if you notice up on the screen, you'll see it says treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is our theme of our stewardship campaign. This is a 4-week stretch. It will culminate on November 6th. Stewardship time, of course, conjures up images of money, images of pledging, but we're looking at it in a broader way. We're looking at it in the term of resources. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And what are our treasures? And you can see the four treasure chests here, and they will be opening each week to show us. We've already had a treasure of our heart. Today we'll be talking about the treasure of time and attention. Next week we'll be talking about the treasure of prayer, and then finally speaking of the treasure of our gifts. Thank you for being with us during this time of our church year. Welcome to University United Methodist Church, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to Dale Fryer.
Thank you. Yes, I am Dale Fryer. First of all, good morning, church. Good morning. Let's join together in our gathering hymn this morning.
Where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. All that you possess will never set you free. Seek the things that last. Come and learn from me. Where your treasure is, your heart shall be.
And now our first hymn, if you will stand or sit as you are able, and join together in Come Now Is the Time.
Good morning. I'm Claudette Brown-Smythe. I am a member here. I am not here very often. I work at the college at Brockport, and so most of the times I'm there, or I visit church with, I go to church with my husband, Reverend Joseph Smythe. So that's why I'm not here as often. I'll be your liturgist this morning. Please join me in the call to worship. In the sacred hour, may our spirits be renewed. Old and new. May we be ready to extend ourselves to those in need, and with trust to receive the hand that is offered. In this time of celebration, may our minds be open to new truth and our hearts be receptive to love as we give thanks. We have a tradition of greeting one another by shaking hands and saying good morning or peace be with you for a minute or two. So let us extend and greet one another by passing Christ's peace.
I'd like to invite the children to join me over in this corner, please. You can come right over behind here today, okay? Just come right in here. Can you squeeze in here?
We will follow, Jesus. Wherever he leads us, we will follow him. Samandela, Jesu, Samandela, Yonke Hindawo, Somlandela, Jesu, Lofehe Akona, Somlandela.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good? I got to tell you, I don't know your name. What's your name? Can you tell me your name? You don't want to? Okay. Well, I'll tell you all my name. My name's Beth. Beth Drew. And I'm not scrunching down on the floor too tight today because you know what? I have a brand new knee in my leg. And I'm kind of afraid if I get down, I might have trouble getting up. So I'm going to kind of sit like this for a minute, okay? Because a couple times I have to get up, so please don't think I'm being rude. Anybody have any good news this morning?
Yes. My name is Eric.
Hi, Eric. How you doing? Did you have a good week? Yeah? Any other good news? At school? Yeah? Did you do all everything you were wanting to do? An A plus? Wow. What'd you get an A plus in?
Art.
In art? Painting or drawing or clay? What was it?
Clay.
Very nice. Thanks for sharing that with us. Any other good news? Well, maybe you think of it and you tell us later. You know, we've got these treasure chests up here today. I know it is. I know it is. We already said good morning to each other. We've got these treasure chests up here this week. And last week we opened the red treasure chest. Anybody remember what we found in here? What was it?
A heart.
We found a heart. It was one of our treasures, wasn't it? Our heart. Now I'm going to set this down and take the heart out. Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. What do you suppose is in this treasure chest today? What do you think? What might be another heart, maybe? A what?
A Bible.
Okay, I don't know. Let's take a peek. What do you think? Here we go. Mrs. Coton already told me she thought I looked kind of scared opening it this morning. It's a box inside. Let's see. Well, whatever. Here, I'm going to take out
a clock.
But wait, that's not all. Something else is in there. Look what else is in there.
A calendar.
Now, what do you suppose a clock and a calendar have to do with each other? It tells you what the time is and what the date is. So this is our time, and another one of the treasures that all of us, you guys sitting here, all the grown-ups sitting out there, have, is that we have the treasure of our time. Now, I know that when you're your age, time feels different than maybe it does to a grown-up like me. It might seem like if I said Halloween, that's still pretty far away, isn't it? But it doesn't seem that way to me. It seems like it's going to come pretty quickly. So time is different when you're young than when you're older. Sometimes a whole afternoon can seem really, really long. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, for some grown-ups, an afternoon can seem pretty long too. If that person is feeling lonely or sad or worn out. Probably if you're happy, time goes a little bit faster, even though it really goes exactly the same way. Yeah, excited can make time feel different too. So I want you to think about your time. And I know every single day, you have to get up, you have to get dressed, you have to clean up, you have to do your chores, you have to go to school. Those are all have-tos. What do you do with the time that you have left over?
You have to go to school, you have to go to church.
Everywhere you go, right? You have to go there. Yeah. Because parents say you have to, or your babysitter or somebody else. But what about that extra time? What about time that nobody's telling you what you can do? Do you ever have any of that time? Yeah? What do you do with that time? Do your homework, okay. Anything else? You what? You watch a show? Go on Netflix? You play with your cat? So that time is what we call your time. And I'm just going to ask you, and then we're going to say a little prayer, to think about, just think about how you use that extra time. Could you maybe use a little teeny bit of that extra time to help out at home on an extra job? Could you use a little bit of that extra time to pick up something in the street that's safe but dirty? Could you use that extra time to be a friend to a brother or sister or cousin? Could you use that extra time in maybe just a little bit of it? I'm not saying don't watch Netflix. I'm not saying don't watch TV, but I'm saying take a little bit of that time because it's what we call a resource and give it back. Think you can try that this week? Maybe we can check in and see how you did that. Let's say a little prayer together. Do you mind taking each other's hands? You can grab my finger here. God, we are so glad that we have full lives, and we're so glad that we have ways that we know we have to spend our time, but we also will try to keep our eyes open to figure out ways that the time we have can be a resource to this world. We thank you for letting us get together, and we'll see you again next week together. Amen.
One accord.
Let us now settle our hearts for prayer. And if you have a prayer slip, you can pass it to the aisles and the ushers will pick them up. And if you would like your prayers read, that's where you can get them to bring them forward to me as part of a community of faith and of our worship service.
Let us unite our hearts as we join in silent prayer, followed by a spoken prayer and the Lord's Prayer. God tells us that through prayer, he can speak to us and use us to work miracles for his glory. When we pray, we're coming to God completely surrendered and expectant to let his Holy Spirit work in and through us. God, you know us so well. You created us. You know the number of hairs on our heads, and you even know the thoughts conceived in our hearts before we ever vocalize them. You have told us to come to you and ask for every need of life. You are the God who provides and the God who heals, and you have the final word on our destiny, the number of years we will live and serve you on earth. We come to you today as your children, longing to hear from you and asking for your divine healing, your protection, your comfort, your grace, and your blessings. There's so much we don't understand about life, but we do know that with one touch, one word, you can make us whole. With one word, one touch, you can change any situation. So here we are, asking that you minister to our needs, those expressed by words and thoughts. Your God, the God that can do abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine, keep us in your will. Please forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from any unrighteousness, and begin your healing from inside out. Within the sanctuary, in the city of Syracuse, and throughout these United States of America. Give us wisdom and understanding to do your will and to be your light in this world. This we pray in the name of our Father. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, from earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory together. Amen.
As part of our stewardship campaign, we are having different people speaking with the sharing of the heart. Well, last week we had Galen Murphy Stanley speak about sharing the heart, and this week we are going to have Morgan Mills speak to us about sharing of time and attention. Now, Morgan can't be with us this morning, but fear not, we have it electronically. So Morgan will be coming to us on tape or on video in just a moment, but I wanted to give a brief introduction to her. Morgan has been a member involved with this church for about 1.5 years. She often sits in the kind of back corner there with her family, Dan and Stella. If you were here at all to watch about the results of Vacation Bible School, and I know a number of you gave your time to Vacation Bible School, Morgan was our very energetic director and leader of the Vacation Bible School. Long blonde hair, and you will see her in the screen. She is also one of two wedding coordinators that we have in this church, a person who helps the wedding parties prepare for their very special day. As I said, Morgan could not be with us, but in fact, she is with us. So welcome, Morgan.
Speak to all of you about time, and I'm sorry I can't be there today. I'm spending the day with my dad because today is his 60th birthday. So I've had a couple of weeks to really think about the essence of time. My grandfather passed away on October 4th, and my entire world stopped. And so all of these thoughts are going through my head about everything else that I need to do, because unfortunately, as my world stopped, reality kept moving. Stella's lunch had to be packed. She still had school. Dan had to do something. I had to go back to work. And all meanwhile, we had to plan the funeral and plan the calling hours and then send thank you cards afterwards and what we're going to do with all of the things that are left behind. And so I really stopped to think about taking time to spend with my family, to listen to all of the stories of my grandfather and to be with all of my cousins and to laugh about our memories. And it really made me think and reflect about the importance of taking time, not making time. Of course, I wish that I would have taken more time to spend with my grandfather, to listen to his stories and to appreciate everything that he could teach me. But unfortunately, we don't have the power to make more time. There's only 24 hours in a day. So it's important for us to take time to do what really matters. One time I was moving at the same time as Vacation Bible School, and I had made that commitment, so I wanted to do everything in my power to make it great. And of course, I was panicking a little bit on the inside, because how am I going to have enough time to be in two places at once when I need to be home to make decisions, but I also need to be at church to help with Vacation Bible School? And somehow, God made it all work, because I realized once I was at the church, it was important for me to take time to teach the children the love of Jesus and how to be kind to others and how to help others and how to be good Christians. And that really made me think about what's important. And what's important is taking time out of our days to do what's right, and not about making time, because we can't make more time. So have a good day, everyone.
We all have taken time to be here today. Please stand or sit as you are able and join me in Jesus, We Are Here. Please be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalms 86, verses 10 to 12. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Because you're awesome and a wonder worker, you are God, just you. Teach me your way, Lord, so that I can walk in your truth. Make my heart focus only on honoring your name. I give thanks to you, my Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. The gospel comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I feel as if you've already gotten to hear me some, and after Morgan's little speech, I feel we really could probably go home right now, but since we are here, I'm going to take a few minutes and have us kind of talk and be together, so please join me in prayer. God, in these next few minutes, may words and thoughts be shared by speaking, by listening, by pondering together as we all continue on our faith road. Amen. Well, you've seen it and you'll see it again, and it's a theme of our time is to have our treasures and our heart. And I've got to tell you, as I was first thinking about how would I address the concept of time and attention and how do we spend our time and attention, all I could think of was this was pretty literally speaking to the choir, because here, up above us, we have a choir that gives time every single week to prepare music, and we have a bell choir, and we have an orchestra, we have people, as seen in these pictures, working every single week, day in this church. And I could go right up and down these sections and say, I know what you do, I know what you do, I know what you do. And that's only here at church, because I also know people are in the community. People are working and doing things in the community. So I was a little stymied at first to kind of think how I could even begin to talk to us about time and attention. And so then I went to linking it to our stewardship campaign, which is, what do we do with our treasures and our resources? And I took the idea of that we will have these resources, and just as with our money, we have absolute givens that we have to do. We go to work. We spend time with our family, as Morgan says. We deal with family crises, as Morgan mentioned. We have the givens in our lives. We have to sleep. We have to eat. We have these givens, but what do we do with the extra? Well, again, I'm going to go back and say it's pretty obvious. We know what to do with the extra because we do it. But I want us to think about, as we're going through here, to truly analyze, when you have time at your discretion, where your heart is and how you will choose to most meaningfully use it for you and for others, just as we do with our money. I am not going to stand here and whip out a long list of things you can do. I'm not going to talk about the ifs of whether or not you should do it. But hopefully I'm going to talk a little bit about the hows and the whys. Now, today's scripture about being a servant to two masters is found in what people pretty well universally referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. If you talk to or ask many people what their most remembered, their most powerful, maybe even their most beloved messages of the Bible, you would find, I think, that many people name verses that come from the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, turn the other cheek, the Golden Rule, the lilies of the field, let today's problems be enough for today. The wise man built his house upon the rocks, and the rain came tumbling down. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you shall find. You are the light of the world. Do not judge, lest you be judged. False prophets in sheep's clothing. These are all found in the Sermon on the Mount. Every one of them and more. So I wanted to frame up the Sermon on the Mount a little bit, and I'm going to stand here before you and tell you that I learned some things as I was preparing this. You'd think we would know this, but they were new to me, maybe to you too. The Sermon on the Mount was very early in Jesus' ministry. It wasn't long after his baptism by John the Baptist, but it was it was in this place that all of a sudden Jesus' crowds began to feel that his teachings had authority. In Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, we read, "Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes." The Sermon on the Mount is the longest story of Jesus' ministry. It occupies chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. And one of the little details that I didn't know, although I guess I should have known because it's true of other historical accounts in the Gospel, is that the Sermon on the Mount is also in Luke. Although it is shorter in Luke, and there is a difference about where on the mountain the sermon was given. It is, though, at the same moment in the narrative of Jesus' life. And even though Jesus preached the same theme in many, many places, many biblical scholars believe that what we read about in Luke and what we read about in Matthew, in fact, was the same sermon. Here's the difference, though. In Matthew, it was up on the mountaintop, hence the Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke, it was on a flat place as Jesus was starting to walk down the mountain. And it is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. So I'll just pass that out to you for a little bit of trivia. But in any case, the Sermon on the Mount is widely believed to contain the best known teachings of Jesus and to provide the prime tenets of Christian faith. St. Augustine said in the 5th century, "If anyone will piously and soberly consider the sermon which Jesus Christ spoke on the Mount, as we read it in the Gospel of Matthew, I think he or she will find it a perfect standard of the Christian life." Now, some of you may have figured out that probably St. Augustine didn't say "or she," and I offer my apologies for editing his 5th century quote. "A perfect standard of the Christian life," said St. Augustine. And today we're talking about how do we spend our time and attention. Let's keep those two ideas in mind. I just want to tell you two little stories. A number of years ago, I was in a community organization that focused on volunteerism. We received training, we received opportunities to serve in the community, and we were required to do both in-house hours and community hours. And we had to be accountable for those hours. And time again, no pun intended, time again, we came up to the question, does it count? Does it count if I'm on a community board? Or does it count if I do work at my church? Does it count if I'm on the parent group at my kid's school? Or do I have to be doing work in the community? Does it count? Does it count? It came up over and over again. And I'm happy to report, as the evolution of this organization has gone on, the understanding that time counts has become more apparent. I also want to share with you a story of an administrator for whom I worked. Many of you know I was an elementary teacher for most of my career. And I worked for a wonderful, wonderful administrator, Gary Vandekar. But Gary made very clear right from the beginning that he would come to you and he would say, when looking at your lessons, it's cute, but does it count? Now, I'm thinking that's not happening in schools as much anymore because there just plain old isn't enough time to do an awful lot of the cute. Right, Jeannie? But, so we're not doing cute quite so much, but you can figure out the math. When I started teaching, there was quite a bit of cute in the elementary school, little paper daisies and little tissue ghosts and the whole thing. And Gary would constantly say, it's cute, but does it count? I'm going to say about our time and our attention an unqualified yes. It counts. It counts what we do. And if you are reaching out to help someone, to serve the way in which you choose to spend your time and attention count. So let's consider, though, some ways in which helping can be bumped to the next possible level for both the people being served and for all of us. We can help in love. When I was a young girl in elementary school, I read the novel Pollyanna by Eleanor Porter. Now, this was not the Disney version with Haley Mills and the blonde braids. This was written in 1913 with 1913 prose. So if I do say so myself, I think it was a fairly little hefty book for me to be picking up when I was in elementary school. But the story, in case you don't know it, is that Pollyanna Whittier is an orphan, and she comes to live with her aunt, who is kind of a scion in the town, and she brings great joy to the town by her attitude. But Pollyanna wasn't really happy at the beginning, and she was eager to go live with her aunt and looking for some welcome. So as we pick up the story in chapter 4, Pollyanna has been picked up at the train station by a servant. Not by Aunt Polly, but by a servant, Nancy, and she is taken home and introduced to Aunt Polly, who does not even rise from her chair. And here's the part I'm going to share. Miss Polly Harrington did not rise to meet her niece. She looked up from her book, it is true, as Nancy and the little girl appeared in the sitting room doorway, and she held out a hand with duty written large on every coldly extended finger. Now, remember, I was probably, 10 maybe? I was mostly sure that that was figurative language. I was mostly sure that she hadn't written duty on every finger, but the word duty was in italics. And so I thought, was duty? Did she say this? Well, I still wondered and I was confused, and of course I came to understand that Aunt Polly hadn't written duty on every finger, but the image has stayed with me over all of these years. And on more than a few occasions, when I feel that I'm doing something out of duty, not out of love, I think of those coldly extended fingers, and I often come to a quick halt and try to analyze a little bit. We don't want to be sending the message of duty. We want to send the message of care and of love. All of the major religions of the world have an understanding, and certainly the message of Christianity is that a person of faith must return, give back to the world, as they reflect their relationship and their understanding of God, as we live our faith. We also can help in relationships. Does anybody ever, and Vito, I'm sending this your way, does anybody ever really say, I think I will volunteer so I can spend my time meeting and planning for something that really isn't too helpful for the people who are involved? No. No, nobody says that. Nobody does. We want to spend our time and attention on work with people, and we want to address issues that can lead to internal and external improvement or making a more beautiful world through meaningful music, through artistic design, through cleaning up neighborhoods, addressing the environment. We want to establish more individual and community security through literacy, jobs, adequate food and lodging, and addressing personal health needs. In the most successful programs or projects or strategies, the work isn't for others, the work is with others. And in so doing, the people who are nurtured, or the people who are helped, are being nurtured, and they have gain. And those of us who are helping are nurtured and have gain, and the work that is done counts. It's helpful and relevant and hopefully really getting to what is needed. And I'm going to hold up as an example the Habitat for Humanity model, where people who are getting the home are asked to put work equity into the house. Just what I'm talking about. Now, for those of you who know me, you know that I've spent more than a fair amount of time on committee meetings and at planning strategies and all of that. So I do need to say that I am fully aware that programs need structure and planning, and there needs to be administration. I get that. There needs to be the process of brainstorming, developing, tweaking, perfecting, and sometimes not every single person being served and every single person serving can be involved. It's just not practical. But, pardon me, if we keep open minds in communication, if we seek all voices in planning and assessment, if we seek representation, if we build partnerships, if we allow ownership and participation, we will be freeing ourselves from our plans, and I'm saying our maybe is the helpers, and we will be leading ourselves into what will genuinely help and what we are wanting to address. Last week, the choir sang a hymn, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love," and the third verse sums up exactly what I'm talking about. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side, and we'll guard human dignity and save human pride, and they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Now, one more way in which helping counts is that we can contribute to the well-being of our community now. This one's a little tough. It's a little tough for me to talk about, maybe a little tough for you to listen about, because it really does go against many of our lessons of our upbringing and even some interpretations of Jesus' words. So we've seen that we shouldn't just do it by duty. We've seen that we shouldn't just do help for people because we feel sympathy or pity, that we should work together. And now I'm suggesting that we shouldn't just be doing helping to work for our future reward. Thanks. Back in 2009, I had a conversation with Craig French, who was the minister here before Alicia, and we were talking about something completely different, but I'm going to quote him because I think there may be a link. He told me, we were actually talking about life after death. And he said, when I learn to trust God in this life, I stop worrying about the next one. I simply continue to trust that the God I have come to know and love and trust in this world is a God I can trust no matter what follows this life. And I wrote that down in my little book, and I took it out. And I'm going to edit that a little bit, and I'm going to say that when I am in relationship with people now and with God now, and when I act in faith now, I can live for now and not worry about what's going to happen to me in my life after. Lilla Watson is a Gangaloo activist from Queensland, Australia. Her emphasis and her wide claim to fame, in addition to being an artist, is that she has really spent her life working with an emphasis on social justice and on Indigenous people of the various continents. Now, she is credited with writing the quote that you see on the screen, but just what we've been talking about, she maintains that the quote is not hers alone, but it's a result of a collaborative process. And she says, if you have come to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together. Our community, our world needs us, you as a person and I as a person, to be in this together now. It won't be just a job. It won't be just duty. It will be our freedom, our liberation in life, and it will be our reward now. So during this stewardship season, when we are being asked to prayerfully think of our hearts and our treasures and how we use them, I hope that we can think of giving. Giving with love. Giving in relationship. Giving for our world right now. Giving with an open heart. Peace be with you. Amen. As we enter this time of giving, I would like anyone who is visiting us today to know that we expect nothing from you. We're happy to have you with us today. We welcome you. You are our guest. Yet, we do have a tradition of giving. So, as a symbol of our ministry and in this place and beyond, let us now bring our tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Lord, I want.
Please join us together in our unison prayer of dedication. Take our gifts, symbols of our devotion, our wordless love, our silent thanks to you for all you have given and all we have yet to receive. Amen. Let's join in singing our closing hymn, Pass It On.
Last week, somebody said to me, why are we asked to go out through the left door, but we're greeted over at the right door? So for today anyway, and I think it has to do with logistics, but for today, I'm going to be standing at the right door to greet you. I'm sorry, the left door, your left door, and this door over here. And as you exit on your way to the gathering room for a few moments of fellowship. So let us pray together. Go now in peace, knowing that we have freedom to help and support and be with people this week and always. Until we meet again in this church, God's love to you all. Amen.